Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Fundamentally Mormon. My name is Mark Lichtenwalter. I'm your host. So this is episode number 2. It'll only be between 30 to 45 minutes long. I just wanted to talk about why I'm doing this show and who I am. So I'm going to talk about my history. Now, anybody who wants to know my full history can go to YouTube and check that out at youtube.com/ I think it's God is my compass, I think. If you type in Messiah Ben Joseph, you should be able to find my channel. Anyway, the guest call-in number, if anybody has any questions or comments, is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And, you know, I started podcasting actually in January of 2014. And the show that I did 461 episodes of, which are between 2 to 4 hours long, mostly right around 2 to 3 hours, actually. I did do several four-hour shows, but most of them are 2 to 4 hours long, 2 to 3 hours long. Anyway, I like to read Ogden Kraut books, which you can find at ogdenkraut.com/, or actually just ogdenkraut.com. You can figure it out from there. I also like to read Alan Rock Waterman, Denver Snuffer. I follow Denver Snuffer, not sure what to believe of him. I want to believe he's a prophet. I don't know. But I also do enjoy reading other blogs like Mormon Yeshiva and those type of blogs that talk about Hebrew roots sort of stuff. So anyway, but who am I? So my name is Mark Lichtenwalter, and I actually am a convert to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My grandparents were actually converts before me, and my grandmother joined the LDS Church when she was 17 years old. My grandfather finally joined when he was 35, I believe. My grandmother and grandfather on my maternal side, one of them was a double leg amputee of World War II, and the other one was his nurse. And my grandmother was in the Navy anyway. So they had pensions, and they were able to go out and do missionary work. And they actually served 7 full-time missions for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as a married couple with children. My grandfather also, let the Spirit lead him, and helped get the missionaries into Guadalajara, Mexico in the 50s, and was a branch president in different areas. I think it was Little Rock, Arkansas. I can't remember. Anyway, so my mother was the youngest of the children, and she had a little bit of a rebellious streak. So we did not go to church a whole lot when I was growing up. My father was a drug addict, and my mother had 3 children, and I'm the oldest living child. There was a miscarriage before me. And my mom left my dad when I was 3. She remarried when I was 6. So this guy that she was dating when I was 5 turned out to be an alcoholic and a pretty abusive man. So between the ages of 2 years old and 16, I lived in a lot of different places, a lot of different homes for me, with my grandparents and with aunts and uncles, and even in a mental hospital for a while when I was 14 for evaluation, and also youth homes and actually a excuse me, a oh, what do you call them, a juvenile detention center for a very short time. I think it was like a night or two, I don't remember. Anyway, when I was 16, my aunt and uncle, who were taking care of me at the time, decided that I needed to get a job, which I got. And they moved me out of the house into the single wide trailer. In fact, my aunt pulled her kids out of, or two of her kids out of school, so we could all get jobs. And we moved into the single wide trailer, a couple hundred miles away from where, like, we lived in Soda Springs, Idaho, and we moved into the single wide trailer in Kaysville, Utah. Anyway, about a month or two goes by, and I got a job, and my aunt came to my work one day and said, "Hey, I'm going to go see my husband. I'm taking my kids with me. Here's the key to the house. We'll be back in a couple of weeks." So I was like, "Okay." So anyway, I had a motorcycle at the time, and when I got home, all of their stuff was gone. There was a note on the table that said, basically, "You're not my responsibility. You're 16 years old. You're old enough to be emancipated, and good luck. You're on your own." So, anyway, not long after that, I was homeless. I signed up for Job Corps. Got into Job Corps. While I was in Job Corps, I tried to have my records removed from the LDS Church because I was baptized. My grandparents actually told my mom that if I didn't get baptized, that they were taking her out of the will, according to my grandparents. I never heard that from my mom, but anyway, so they got me baptized, but we didn't really go to church hardly ever. Anyway, so and my aunt and uncle were LDS, and I just couldn't stand what they had done to me, and I wasn't their responsibility, but they shouldn't have taken me, I wasn't causing any problems when I was in 10th grade. I was in ROTC, the Star Trek Club. I helped out in the library as a volunteer, and I also was on the swim team. And I was doing all this stuff so I could stay out of the home so that I didn't have to move again. Because it seemed like whenever I was at home, there was always some kind of commotion going on. Now, my stepdad, actually, my mom divorced my stepdad when I was 12, because the abuse got so bad. So 4 years after, I'm still pretty angry about all of the stuff that he did to me, and I was angry about a lot of stuff back then. And I just, I don't know, I guess they couldn't handle me. So anyway, so I went to Job Corps, tried to get my name removed from the LDS Church, joined a Baptist church that was actually in Ogden, Utah, and grew to be very anti-Mormon. And let's see here. So anyway, I grew to be very anti-Mormon. While I was in bed one day, in the evening time in the dorms in Job Corps in Clearfield, Utah, Clearfield Job Corps in Clearfield, Utah, I was laying there and I was taken up out of my body and had this spiritual experience, which confused me a great deal, where I was taken to the Salt Lake Temple in the Spirit, and I had a guide who I later found out was Jesus Christ, and he directed me through the temple. The last room that I went into was what I thought was the Holy of Holies for a long time, but it's actually the highest room in the temple. It's right under the angel Moroni, and when I walked into that room, I felt the full power of God's love just going through me, like, just, it was amazing. And I heard the Father tell me that I would be the last prophet that stood on the earth when Jesus Christ returned. I was anti-Mormon, didn't want anything to do with the church, had this amazing spiritual experience, saw the room that I went into, saw the temple. Anyway, so long story short, I don't know what to do with this. You know, it's just this crazy thing that happened. And I continue on with Job Corps. After Job Corps, I ended up being homeless. I was very suicidal because I basically was abandoned by my family, and I felt a great deal of neglect. And I wanted to kill myself, but I was too scared to do it, so I used a lot of drugs and alcohol. Got to the point where I was getting drunk every day. I had a friend that would buy me large bottles of gin, because the bottles that I would buy, they were pretty big, and it was so nasty, but I didn't care. I would work. I got this job, and I was staying with some friends, and I would work, and then I would come home, and then I would drink until I got drunk and pass out, and then get up the next day and go back to work. Anyway, I eventually became homeless during this time, on and off, lived in my car for a while, and got to the point where I decided to commit suicide. So my friend goes to work. I'm staying at his place. I decided to make a place for me to die, and I cut my wrists, and I've got scars all up and down my arms and wrists, everywhere that a blood vessel popped out when I put the ACE bandages on my arms. Everywhere I could see anything, I've got deep gashes, and I've got these scars all over my arms. So a friend found me, took me to the hospital, saved my life. Right after that, when I was finally released, I wrote a letter to God, and I said, you know, I'm so screwed up. My life's been screwed up, and I need help. And I asked him if he would please show me the truth and heal me, and if he would do that, I would serve him for the rest of my life. Not long after that, I met the missionaries for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When I finally decided to listen to them, which actually took a while because I didn't want to listen to them. I thought the LDS Church was way off. Anyway, they taught me about Joseph Smith and the first vision, which, oddly enough, I don't remember hearing that. I'm pretty sure I heard it a little bit growing up, because my grandparents were LDS, and so were my aunt and uncle. But I don't know, when I heard that and when I heard his story, the Holy Spirit came into me, and I felt this great deal of peace. And when the missionaries left, I prayed and asked God if Joseph Smith was a true prophet, and if the Book of Mormon was true. And when I knelt down and I asked that, the Holy Spirit came down on me like fire. And I was completely healed from all of my drug addictions at that point. I mean, it was gone. And my friend eventually kicked me out because they were like goth into Wiccan stuff and whatever, and they into drugs and drinking, you know. So anyway, I started attending the LDS church as a homeless man because I didn't have anywhere to go. I was staying with my friends. I was trying to do my best, you know, but I had hurt my back really bad. And I couldn't work, and so I ended up walking the streets. December of 96 into January of 97. My grandfather, the last he heard from me is that I was trying to get my name removed from the church, but he was laying in bed one morning, and nobody knew where I was. I was homeless. And he heard an audible voice tell him to find me and send me on a mission. Now, I told God if he would heal me, which he did, and if he would show me the truth, which he did, I would serve him for the rest of my life. And I kept that promise. And so my mother eventually figured out where I was by going to a place that she knew that I used to work anyway. And I eventually ended up stopping in there, and they told me, you know, hey, my mom was looking for me. So I call her up and she says, hey, where are you at? I need to come pick you up. Grandpa wants to talk to you. Okay. So, and this grandfather helped raise me from the time I was two. He was the only fatherly influence I had in my life that wasn't abusive. Very good man, and I really miss him. He tells me, you know, I will put you in college for 4 years, which I had my GED and I had a 2-year degree in advanced diesel mechanics. My IQ is 147. I can get into wherever. I don't know. I probably get into community college, but in fact, I have completed. Anyway, I'm not getting into that. So, or I could go on a mission. So I said, okay, well, I want to go on a mission because I told God I would serve him for the rest of my life. It was not an easy transition going from a gothic drug addict to being a missionary, but I did it. So anyway, after a year of being on a mission, I got very sick. Several things happened. I had a collapsed lung and I had to go home on medical leave. They planned on sending, and I went to Georgia, Macon, Georgia Mission, Georgia Macon Mission, whatever. And they planned on sending me back out. But when I got home, my mom let me stay in a trailer in their driveway while I was getting better. And I was going to doctors, like I had four doctors. And one of them wouldn't release me because I was still sick. And my stepdad, different guy, my mom married three different guys. But the last time she married, anyway, she, let's see, one, two, three. Oh, that's four, yeah, four, okay. So anyway, but he kicked me out, and I went to stay with my sisters for a little while, who also had their own place. And then I went over the road as a truck driver because I had a CDL because I was a diesel mechanic by trade. And I only went on a mission for a year, which I've had a lot of dreams about being a missionary. And I really felt guilty about not being able to finish my mission. But because of the circumstances, I just wasn't able to go back. And I had to get a release from the doctor and they weren't releasing me. And then the stake president found out that I didn't have a place to live and it just, they released me. So anyway, so I determined that I would do my best to do missionary work as a truck driver. So I would study like mad, which I did on my mission as well. And I would do missionary work all over North America, which I did from 1998 until 2003. In 2003, in April or May, and I'm sorry, I don't know the exact date of this event, I was praying to God about having my calling and election made sure. And it's interesting because in my patriarchal blessing that I received in 1997, it actually says, I give you the greatest gift that God has to bestow, the gift of eternal life. I talked to a stake patriarch and a stake president about that, and they said, well, they've never seen that in a blessing before, and it means that I am qualified or have been qualified to have my calling election made sure. And when I asked God about it, he said, it's not because of who you are now, it's because of who you were, and you qualified for this blessing before you came here. So like children that die before the age of accountability are already celestial beings, but they had to gain bodies and then they go back, you know. Well, some of us get to stay because we have missions to fulfill in this life, and Satan likes to destroy us every chance he gets. So anyway, so that's part of the reason why I've had so many problems in my life. I've also seen Satan. I'm not going to get into that right now. But so I was praying about having my calling and election made sure, and exactly what that was when I was taken up in the flesh, and I was taken up to this mountain, which I later found out was called Mount Bashal. And there was a temple on the top of this mountain. And when I went into that temple, I saw this very bright light. And I walked towards the light, and I saw that there was a man standing in the light. And when I got closer, I knew it was Heavenly Father. Now, when I went into the Holy of Holies of that temple on Mount Bashal, it was the same experience spiritually as going into the highest room in the Salt Lake Temple, you know, the LDS Temple in Salt Lake. And it was just overpowering love and peace and just this burning fire that I can't describe, but it just encompassed everything. And so when I was in that room, that's what I was feeling. And when I saw the man standing in the light, when I got closer, I immediately realized that this was Heavenly Father. And I fell down on my face. And he told me to get up. And he held his arms out to me. And I walked forward and I embraced his flesh, which I thought was really, not at the time, but later on I thought it was pretty weird, because like not even Joseph Smith had that experience. He saw the Father and the Son, but I embraced the Father and the Son, because after that Jesus came out. Well, I'm jumping out a little bit. Okay, so after I embraced the Father, he told me to kneel down before him, which I did. I asked him what he was doing. He said that he was sealing me to himself that I might have eternal life. So even though I'd been promised in my patriarchal blessing that I would be given the gift of eternal life, this was the point when I received my calling and election and was sealed up to the Father and became an eyewitness of the Father in his resurrected flesh. He sealed me up to himself. He also gave me authority still others, and he gave me certain keys to the kingdom and to the priesthood, and then I saw Jesus Christ, and I embraced him in the flesh as well, and we talked for a while, and the Father went away, and it was just Jesus and I talking about some things about my life at the time. Anyway, so after this experience, from 2003 to 2012, I just continued to grow. I was shown many things in visions, which I'd seen things in visions before that, and dreams, and received revelations, many, many revelations, and got to the point where I was actually told to sit down and write what Heavenly Father was telling me. So most of my revelations come directly from the Father. Didn't quite understand why all this was happening to me. I stayed within the LDS Church until 2012. In 2012, I met my wife, and we were actually both separately commanded to marry each other. And which, you know, we, like, I met her online. We got to know each other. Like, I called her for the first time on May 28th, 2012. On May 28th, 2012, we started Skyping. We were both told to marry each other, like basic strangers. I flew up on June 30th to meet her and her family. She drove down with me from New Hampshire to North Carolina so I could meet some more of her family. And then I was living in St. Petersburg, Florida, near Tampa Bay at the time. I was just going to drive home and then see what happened from there. But we both felt like we needed to be obedient to God's commandments. So 20 days after I met her in person, we got married. I gave up my apartment, all my furniture, took some of the stuff that I had. I had roommates. I gave it all to them. Took my books, took my computer, took some of my things, moved to New Hampshire with a complete stranger. We've been married for almost 6 years. Anyway, I'd received a revelation that Thomas Monson was a steward over the church, but he was not a prophet, seer, and revelator as he claims to be at the time. And I also believe the Adam God doctrine because I've studied it out, and it's actually taught in the temple, but most people don't study the words of Joseph Smith enough to know that God the Creator is God the Father. And the endowment talks about Jehovah sending Michael to create the earth, and Michael's the one that does it. That's the Adam God doctrine. Anyway, so somehow it got out, and I think it was a family member on my wife's side that reported me to the stake president. Stake president calls me in Vermont and wants to know what's going on, and I said, well, you know, this is what I believe. I said, I sustain Monson as president of the church, and I feel he's been called to that position. However, I don't believe he's a prophet, seer, and revelator. State president got very upset about that, wanted to know about these other things that he had heard. So I was very blunt with him, and I said, well, yeah, I've had these experiences with Heavenly Father. And he called me a bald-faced liar and told me I was going to be excommunicated. Long story short, I wasn't able to even attend the hearing to defend myself. They severed me from the church. They think they severed me from the ordinances. They haven't, because I've been sealed up to eternal life, and they don't have the power to do anything about that. I've used the priesthood to heal people and miracles and all those type of things. So anyway, it sounds like we've got 90 seconds left on the program. Now, I don't know if it's the same as it used to be, but it used to be that you could go over 15 minutes. So hopefully I'll be able to do that, but if not, that's fine. Anyway, so after I was excommunicated, or during the time I was being excommunicated, I was very upset. Because I treasured my membership in the church, and I was crying to God, asking him why this was happening to me, and he told me to kneel down before him and ask him who I am. When I did so, he opened up a vision and showed me a vision of the preexistence. There was a vast congregation standing before the throne of God, so the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Well, actually, it was the Father, the Son, and Lucifer. And Lucifer, because of his rebellion, he was cast out. And I saw that the Father and the Son went among the generals in the armies of heaven who are called mighty and strong, and they chose me from among them to take the place that Lucifer lost his office that he was cast out from. and to be the second witness of the Father. That's why I've had the experiences that I've had. That's why I have embraced the Father. That's why the Father told me in 1995, before I converted and knew that Joseph Smith was a prophet, that I would be the prophet on the earth when Jesus Christ returned. That's right, why I've received revelations. That's why I've been shown visions. That's why I've had so many experiences with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ in the flesh, in dreams, and in visions. After I was excommunicated in 2013, I received a letter in the early spring of 2013 that notified me that I was no longer a member of the LDS Church. Heavenly Father told me to start, and he told me to go to a certain person to be rebaptized by this person, whose name is Kevin Kraut. Never met him before in my life. Showed up during a really bad snowstorm. There was like two named storms on the either side of Salt Lake, Utah County. He was in Santa Quinn. I was a truck driver out of Hartford, Connecticut for FedEx, and we had gotten a load to the Los Angeles, San Bernardino area as a team driver, and then we got a load going to Salt Lake, which we didn't plan that. It's just how it happened. And I had my mom drive me down to Santa Quinn to meet Kevin Kraut. I called him like an hour before, I think, and I didn't know him. I'd seen some videos that he had made. In fact, you can find his YouTube videos by typing in Don Quixote. Separate story, separate issue. Anyway, so I went to him and I said, well, Heavenly Father told me that I needed to be rebaptized by you. And so we talked for about an hour. The Spirit confirmed it. He said, okay. And we went to a place and I was baptized. Heavenly Father told me to start the Church of the Living Messiah. Explained to me how he wanted United Orders to be. Lots of different stuff. Anyway, so I did what he told me to do. And that's why I started that. And now in January of 2014, he told me to start a podcast called The Kingdom of God or Nothing, which I did. And I continued that until July of 2016. I have 461 episodes, between 2 to 4 hours long there. You can actually find the last 200 episodes on iTunes by just typing in The Kingdom of God or Nothing. I talk and I read Ogden Kraut books, which I'm going to continue to do on this podcast. I'm a little disappointed that more fundamentalists don't do podcasts or videos. But that's why I do it, because there's so much that the LDS Church has covered up, history that they've covered up, doctrines that they once professed that they don't profess anymore. And I want to learn about it, and I want to teach people about it. So, because what I want really is for Zion to be redeemed. And in order for Zion to be redeemed, according to the Joseph Smith translation of Genesis chapter 9, I think starting with verse 25, somewhere around there, it says, when a people live all that I have commanded them, then they shall look up, and Zion will come down out of heaven. And let me just pull that up real quick, because I think it's important that people understand this. So I don't know when this podcast is going to cut out, because they used to give you 15 minutes, or no, yeah, it was 15 minutes after the program to finish up your program. just on the, the 30-minute programs. And then if I did a 2-hour one, I had my overdrive was an hour long, so I could go for up to 3 hours, which I used to do all the time. Anyway, let me just pull this up real quick. So I'm using the LDS Scripture app here, and I'm going to go down to the Joseph Smith translation of Genesis chapter 9, which I'm doing a video. I don't know if you can see that, but anyway, Genesis chapter 9, and it says this, and it's verses 21 through 25. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant which I made unto thy father Enoch, that when men should keep all my commandments, Zion should again come on the earth, the city of Enoch which I have caught up unto myself. And this is mine everlasting covenant, that when thy posterity shall embrace the truth and shall look upwards, then shall Zion look downwards, and all the heavens shall shake with gladness, and the earth shall tremble with joy. And the general assembly of the church of the firstborn shall come down out of heaven and possess the earth, and shall have place until the end come. And this is mine everlasting covenant, which I made with thy father Enoch. So, real quick, just going over this real quick. When men should keep all my commandments, then Zion will be redeemed. And then the church, or the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, shall come down out of heaven and possess the earth. This is what Daniel chapter 7 is talking about, when the Ancient of Days comes down to Adam and Undiamond, comes down on the earth. And that has to happen for the Son of Man to return for the second coming. But it all depends on if people are going to do what God has commanded. Now, what has God commanded? He's commanded us to, we are in condemnation for treating the Book of Mormon lightly and treating the former commandments lightly. This is a day of restoration. He's told us to gather, which he never rescinded. He's given us plural celestial marriage, which he has not rescinded. And I'm sorry that the church was attacked by the beast and the government about it, but God did not rescind that. And united orders, like the church has 16 million members and billions of dollars, and they don't have one united order. Yet they've been commanded to do this. And it says in Scripture, if you're not one, you're not mine. You must be equal in all things. It is not given for one man to own that which is above another, wherefore the whole world lieth in sin. And like God has commanded all these things, and I shouldn't have to come here and talk to the LDS people and the fundamentalists and all of the groups that came out of Nauvoo and tell them this is what they should do, because it's in your scriptures. But God has sent me as a witness to teach the people, and I am prophesied of in Isaiah chapter 28, that one mighty and strong would come among the drunkards of Ephraim. Well, what are they drunk on? They're drunk on the spirit of Babylon the Great. And that I would teach they who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, the milk of the gospel, and teach them the meat of the gospel. And that's why I'm doing these programs. I don't want to be a leader. I would rather just sit in class and make comments as the teacher teaches and not stand up in front of a conference, which I'm going to do here in June, in front of a conference of remnant people with Denver Snuffer. Of course, he doesn't know who I am. I know who he is. But I shouldn't have to tell people what's already in their scriptures for them to follow. And the LDS church has basically dumbed down the meat of the gospel. And in Isaiah chapter 28, it says that all their tables are full of vomit and filth. And why are their tables full of vomit and filth? It's because they have rejected the meat of the gospel, and they look at it like it's vomit, because they reject so many doctrines that Joseph Smith taught. Like, for instance, the fact that God, our Father, is Jehovah, That was in the dedicatory prayer at the Kirtland Temple, that Jehovah is the great father, the father of Jesus. And now in the 1880s, they started teaching the false doctrine that Jesus and Jehovah are the same person. You know, they once taught that the Adam God doctrine was true, which it is, and it all fits in there, but people don't understand it. They don't even read the King Follett discourse. It was like the last great sermon of Joseph Smith. You know, they reject the meat of the gospel, and I'm sorry, but you're never going to redeem Zion if you dumb it down for everybody because you're afraid you might offend somebody. And I can tell you personally that I want to see Zion redeemed. And I want to see the saints come out of the Babylonian captivity that they've placed themselves under and be the saints of God and stop being just Mormons. And so why I'm doing this program is because I want to teach people, and I want to hear what you have to say, because I've been wrong myself on things. I am a man, even though I've had these experiences, even though I've been foreordained to certain things, even though I've received my calling and election, and even though I am the second witness of the Father, I still learn line upon line, precept upon precept, just like everyone else. And I study things out, and I get revelation when I study things out, when I go to the Father and say, okay, this is what I believe, help me to know if it's true, Spirit confirms it, or doesn't, you know, or withdraws from me, and I'm like, okay, so that's wrong. And I'm doing this. I want to know God. I want to know what He wants us to do, and I want to teach the people. And I don't want to be an enemy of the LDS Church. I never did. But I want us all to repent and to come out of iniquity and to come out of Babylon and be the saints of God that God has intended us to be. And so that's why I do the programs. And that's why I started this program, Fundamentally Mormon, which you'll be able to find on iTunes as soon as I can figure out how to get it to transfer, because I just started this program. But if you want to listen to my old programs, just go to iTunes and type in the Kingdom of God or Nothing in podcasts, or go to blogtalk.com/ The Kingdom of God or Nothing, or you can find me on Facebook, and I share a lot of stuff on Facebook. And that is facebook.com/ LAZURUS 1977. You can also find a page, The Church of the Living Messiah, on Facebook, Zion's Redemption Bookstore on Facebook, and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, I guess that's going to be the end of the program. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching the YouTube video. And if you feel that you can, I would appreciate it if you would share it with others, because this is the only way I can get to the people. And I say these things in the name of Jehovah, our Father, and His Son, Yeshua, our Redeemer. Amen.